We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. This year marks the centennial anniversary of Congress passing the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. Although women would not officially get the right to vote until a year later, U.S. states began to ratify the amendment in 1919.
And the very first state to ratify that amendment was none other than Wisconsin. But the state's own history with women's voting rights is a bit complicated, according to our next guests.
Meg Jones is a reporter, and Nancy Stowes is a features editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Their current series is all about women's suffrage in Wisconsin. It's challenging journey and the pioneering women who led the way. Jones and Stowes joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about their work.
Suffrage had been going on in the state of Wisconsin. Women had been trying to get the vote for decades. And it seemed like at every juncture they were foiled for some reason or another. They would get some people in the legislature to be on their side, but not fully. And then they would get a vote, but it was only for school issues. It was all men in the legislature. The men in the legislature were like, well, you know, women really can't be counted on or can't be trusted with a full vote for, say, president or governor. But, you know, they do have children, so we'll only let them vote in school elections. And so then they vote in school elections, but then some of their votes are tossed out. And then somebody, a woman who did vote, has to file a lawsuit. So it was kind of stops and starts for the state of Wisconsin. So the fact that Wisconsin's the first to ratify the amendment was, it's just very, very interesting and unusual given our previous history.
So when we look at the suffrage movement, really from its beginning in Wisconsin to its ostensibly its end in 1919, what does that look like?
You know, it was interesting when I was doing the research for this, I was amazed at kind of the patchwork quilt across the United States that women's voting rights were. I mean, you had places like Wyoming where 1869, if you're a woman living in Wyoming, you could vote for anybody, for president. And it seemed like the Western states were much more progressive earlier than other states. But Wisconsin was, you know, a lot of the grassroots efforts were from the women's clubs. And women's clubs were very, very popular because that's how women would get together and they would talk about issues of the day. And one of the major issues was suffrage. So in Wisconsin, it was kind of like this. It was two steps forward, one step back. They would get some people within the legislature to approve this, but then it would go to a referendum and all the male voters, because that's all they had, would say no. So it was one of these, when Nancy came to me and said, oh, hey, we should do something on Wisconsin being the first to ratify. And I'm like, really? I didn't know that. And then I didn't know that Wisconsin, like, probably should have been one of the last states to ratify the vote, given our history. And we are first, too, by a paperwork error, too. We should point that out. So what had happened was that the suffragists were trying to affect change within their state. It wasn't happening in Wisconsin. And the national leaders are like, you know what? We have to go to Congress and get Congress to change this. And then it's going to have to go to two-thirds of the states, which at that time was 35. So at some point, this was in kind of the mid-teens, the national leaders kind of gave up on Wisconsin. They're like, you know what? It's kind of a hopeless cause. So they took some of the Wisconsin suffragists who were very vocal, Theodora Yeomans and some of those great women, Jesse Jack Cooper, and they started going around the United States to try and get this through Congress. So it gets through Congress, then it has to go to the 35 states to ratify. So my big question was like, well, why was Wisconsin the first? And it was because the legislature, which, you know, meets a couple of times a year, but then when they're done with their work, they may not meet for another, you know, 6 months or 8 months or the next year. Well, it turned out that year in 1919, the Wisconsin legislature was way behind. So they should have been done, but they were still doing their work. And so the legislature was still in session. So when Congress passed this, there was only, I think, three legislatures, Illinois, Wisconsin. I think Michigan had a special section that they came in. So all of our guys were in the Capitol, and they're like, okay, let's vote on this. But they voted it on in like 11-something. I've got it in the story, 11 a.m. on this particular day on June 10th. But the Illinois legislature, which was also late and was also still in session, they voted on it like less than an hour before. But it's not just enough to vote on it and approve it. You have to get the paperwork out to Washington, D.C. So there was kind of this mad dash, and Ada James, who was one of the suffragists here in Wisconsin, she enlisted her father, who was in the Wisconsin legislature. And by the way, he had introduced a resolution or it introduced a bill for women to get the right to vote, which ultimately failed. But so she enlists her dad. She's like, Dad, we need you to get out to Washington, D.C. So it's kind of a combination of streetcar, car, train. He had to leave the Capitol that day. She even gives him her like traveling bag. So basically she's like, here's my suitcase, Dad, go. So he gets out to Washington, D.C., and they've got to go to the State Department. So Illinois gets there first because Illinois had a head start. But Illinois had a paperwork error. So there was something wrong with their paperwork, and they're like, ah, sorry, we can't accept this. And Wisconsin's there, and we're like, well, here's our stuff. So that's
typical.
So that's why I said in the story, like, in a cross-border rivalry that predates the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, Wisconsin, booyah, got out there first and we became the first to ratify.
By just a hair, right? So, you know, you mentioned the right to vote in school board races, and one of the pieces that you have out already is about a number of different women who were influential in getting the vote for women, both here in Wisconsin and nationally. And I believe the woman you were talking about is Olympia Brown.
Yeah, so Olympia Brown, she's, and you know what's interesting is that there are fascinating, really powerful women that are all through our history here in the state of Wisconsin, as well as the United States. And Olympia Brown was the first female reverend in the state of Wisconsin. And she's the one who goes to vote at her local polling place in Racine. She's pretty thrilled. She's already been a suffragist. She's been trying to get the vote. So she goes and she votes in Racine. And unbeknownst to her, the attorney general at the time had sent out telegrams to clerks of court in various polling places, particularly urban areas, and said, you know what? I don't think women should be able to vote. And so it was, so some people were able, some women were able to vote. Some were turned away from the polls. Some voted, but then their votes were tossed out. And that's what happened to Olympia Brown. And she's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. This isn't right. I'm a woman and I'm allowed to vote. So she files a lawsuit and a circuit judge agrees with her. But then it's appealed and it goes to the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court does not side with her. The state Supreme Court rules, and this is in like mid-1880s, and they say, well, you know what? Wisconsin's law that allows women to vote only in school elections is vague, and it needs to be rewritten. So basically, they throw the ball back into the legislature's court, where it sits in the legislature's court for like the next decade. So women get to vote in that election, but then they don't get to vote for a while longer. So it's one of these. And so Olympia Brown is one of the ones who was like, you know, wait a minute, I'm just not going to go quietly into the often in the night. I'm going to file a lawsuit. And yeah, ultimately it didn't work for her, but she was one of those voices. And I think you had enough of those voices coming together that got loud enough that finally women got the vote.
Well, the other thing that happened was one reason Wisconsin was so opposed to women's suffrage is because a lot of the suffragists were also in favor of, or part of the temperance movement. And with all the German beer drinkers, brewers in the state, the Tavern League, they were very much against that. So by the time the amendment was up for ratification, prohibition had already been put in place. So they had nothing more to lose. That was one of the reasons they were able to vote for the amendment.
Interesting. So a big part of it ended up being what is still a major industry for us, alcohol.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned a number of other women inside of that piece, some of whom were actually national figures. I'm thinking in particular, Carrie Chapman Catt.
Yes. So she was from Ripon, I believe. And she became kind of one of the handpicked successors to Susan B. Anthony, kind of brought her along, and Susan B. Anthony kind of picked her to be kind of a successor to her. And she grew up here in Wisconsin. Is that correct?
She was a native of Wisconsin.
Native of Wisconsin, but then she left. So what she did, and what I ended up putting in the story is she had this really, really interesting speech. So Susan B. Anthony said, listen, I need you to go and speak before Congress. So she did in like 1910, 1912, and then she went again in 1917. And her speech in 1917, which I was able to quote a bit in one of the bios, she makes the point. She said, you know, listen, the foundation of our country is that we were against taxation without representation. Okay, that's why we dumped all the tea into the Boston Harbor. But we still have taxation without representation because women are paying taxes. We are paying taxes, and yet we cannot vote for the representatives who are in charge of us. And so she was able to call them out on their hypocrisy, and plenty of people had been calling them out on their hypocrisy, on women being taxed, women being ruled, but not being able to allowed to vote. And so she was one of these great shining lights who was able to distill this all into several short sentences that basically just kind of, I think, kind of drove a dagger through the heart of the of efforts to prevent women from voting. And then I'm pretty sure she was the first, then she became the first national president of League of Women Voters. Yeah.
So, yeah, she was the founder and president of the League of Women
Voters. Yeah, so what had happened was that they had this national women's suffrage group, and then once they got suffrage, then it very quickly morphed into the League of Women Voters, which, of course, is still very active and very vocal today.
Very active here in Wisconsin, especially. So what are the other topics that you're hoping to tackle inside of this series?
Well, the series will run for four more Sundays, concluding on June 9th, which is the day before the legislature actually voted to ratify. So this Sunday, we have a story on where are women now in terms of political power in the state of Wisconsin, looking at all levels of government. The following Sunday is a look at the firsts for women in Wisconsin, the first woman to represent the state at the national level, the first women to be elected to the state legislature, and so on. And the week after that, we have two stories, two main stories. One is about young women activists today, kind of like the equivalent of the suffragists in our time, and a story on a group called Progressive Moms. And the final Sunday is an interview with Rebecca Clefish, who is heading the national committee that's planning the national suffrage celebrations.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like there's a number of different celebrations that are going on, not just here in Wisconsin, but nationally.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's probably state by state because Wisconsin was the first on June 10th in 1919, but it wasn't ratified fully until the following August of 1920, when Tennessee was the last state. So it goes through in August of 1920, and then that following November, women can vote for president for the first time. And they say that's probably how Warren Harding got elected, was that because he was he appealed to the female voters.
And we see how that went.
I know.
Well, thank you both so much for speaking with us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Our pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Meg Jones is a reporter, and Nancy Stowes is a feature editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and their series on women's suffrage in Wisconsin will be featured online and in the newspaper in the weeks to come.
The Journal Sentinel will also hold a storytelling event to accompany the series. The event, titled Women and Power, will be held Tuesday, June 11th. There's a link to more information at WUWM.com.